Hey, this is Al Fink here at BNCLive.com. It's June 20th, Summerfest approaching. I was driving by the Jersey Shore today, a lot of things going on over there. Surfers, pretty girls, a lot of beachgoers, lifeguards are there. Get out over to the Jersey Shore. Weather was great today. I was just up and down Ocean Avenue over there between Belmar and Spring Lake and Bradley. It's hopping pretty good for a Tuesday. Well, we're going to have a guest on with us tonight. It's his return visit, Sean Faust, alternative singer-songwriter. Sean, you on the line with us?
What's up, brother?
Good, good. Thanks for coming back. It's been a while.
Thanks for having me. Last time was a blast, man. I wish we had done it sooner.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I've taken a little sabbatical over the last year and a half. And I didn't do any shows for quite a while, and I've been busy archiving the old shows and getting them up on Mixcloud and onto my web pages. I have hundreds of them, actually. And in the last 3 or 4 weeks, I started doing a lot of shows again. So I've been doing, you know, 2-3 shows a week. You know, last time we went really nuts. I mean, we were doing 3-4 shows a day, and it was just like, man, I got fried. You know, that was just way too many. But anyway, let's talk about you. So give us the lowdown of what you're doing now. It's been quite a while that we talked. I'm sure a lot of stuff has been going on in your career. So why don't we start there?
I'm juggling like a zillion things at once. But the things right now, what I'm focusing on, I'm recording a new album, new solo album, and I'm playing keys in a psychedelic jam band that's called The Adventure Soundtrack with Robert Fulton, who was also with us last time that you and I spoke.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And that's – so the album is pretty much 90s alternative meets 70s prog rock. And, you know, I'm taking it slow and steady. I'm not rushing it. And I'm able to record at home, so I'm able to have the luxury of listening back to something I might have done a month ago and say, no, I don't like that, or, wow, all right, cool, going to keep it. And I can also give myself time to decide if I'm liking takes or not, and that there's no real deadline or rush, so I'm really enjoying that. And then playing keys with the Adventure Soundtrack has just been amazing. Lots of improv, lots of jamming. I'd say if you... Ween meets the Grateful Dead, meets some Pink Floyd, meets some just really out there stuff. And some fish.
That stuff. That kind of sounds like that's pretty awesome music to me.
It's an intense show. Very intense.
So are you playing, when you go out and play at these gigs, I noticed you were at, the Oak Ale House in Maywood. That was on the 15th, right? Last Thursday. Now, when you go to these places, you're playing in Philly, how are they receptive to original music? Are you mixing up originals and then doing some covers? What's the layout there? What's the playlist that you're doing?
When I do the solo acoustic thing, it really varies. It depends. So, like, there's no set list, and I kind of read the audience. So if I see that, like, people are kind of like, you know, not paying attention, I'll throw in some covers. But usually it's good on that. And with the Adventure Soundtrack, it's 95% original. And we've done gigs. We did a gig a few months back. I can't remember the name of the town now. In Milford, New Jersey, which is kind of on the border of New Hope, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Sort of way. And we played at the Ship Inn. That place is phenomenal. And people thanked us for not playing covers.
People
want
to hear...
They were set up. Yeah.
I think people want to hear new stuff. You know, a lot of places they want to hear covers. But I think there's places where people want to hear new stuff. Stuff they haven't heard before. You know, and you know, they hear it live, and that's you're coming out to be entertained. So there's something to be said for original music. You know, but if you think about it, all music was original.
At some point,
yeah. So, but a lot of people don't hear, you know, stuff from local artists because a lot of it doesn't get played on radio, you know, terrestrial radio. So they really need to go and see it live. So, you know, you're really you're actually introducing them to some new sounds, which at the right places, I mean, they you know, and the right people in the right audience, and you're reading them. Sounds like they're really appreciating your work.
It's really rewarding to do this. And there are times, though, you know, you do a gig where people just, they don't care. And that's fine, too. I'm not going to be like, oh, you're wrong. I was playing. You should be paying attention. Because sometimes you're playing at a place, whether it's a music venue, the people are going there, they know they're going to see music, but they're not there to see you, so they really don't, you know. Sometimes they just don't care. Sometimes they're there to support their friends but don't care about their friend. They want to be somewhere else. So they're having a conversation. That's fine. Life goes on, and I'm not going to cry about it. But the people that are like, wow, that was cool. I've never heard that before. That was awesome. Yeah, great. That's, like, the best part of it.
Are you playing with other bands? Yeah, absolutely. Are you playing with other bands at these locations? Or are you the headliner, or are you opening for somebody? How's that work?
Oak Ale House, it's two sets of Adventure Soundtrack. It depends on the room. John and Peter's, I like, in New Hope, Pennsylvania, I like to split the night with another band that's from that area, too. Because obviously it generates more people coming in, because we live an hour and a half north, so we're only going to bring X amount of people to that area that know us. Or X amount of people from this area that are willing to travel that far, which is awesome when they do. I love it because that happens too. So you get somebody that's local there that also has a good draw. You get a really, really good night.
Absolutely. Plus, you get new fans, and the other band
exactly,
gets new
yeah.
fans as well. Yeah, it's a great collaboration. So that's fantastic. New Hope is known for people going to see new stuff, original music. That's kind of an original music town, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The place that I play usually, John and Peter's, doesn't really... Now, funny enough, the first time I played there, I played a cover. But they're not... And the draw was this cover band. We played one song. And it's usually an original room, like come see originals. And if you throw covers in your set, that's cool, but it doesn't really promote cover bands or tribute bands. Unless it's something mm-hmm. special, like tonight that I played, not because I was there, just in general, it was a special night because there was this really cool thing. We played Echoes, and it was with Dean Ween of the band Ween, and some guys from Moist Boys, and it was just a really cool vibe. It was like a 40-minute version of this tune, jammed. It was epic. It was crazy, but people came out for that. But usually, it's just originals. Or whatever. And then the first time I played there after that was with Fulton. And our minds were just blown. That people just came in off the street. Hey, let's see what's going on in here and hear some music. What? I got to pay $5? Sure, that's not a problem. I don't mind. And just, that was it. And it just blew our minds. Because I don't know if you know what it's like up here in North Jersey, hell. As far as music is concerned, it's just pretty much nobody really goes out. And unless it's a cover band, and even then, people are starting to get tired of every cover band playing the same song list as the other one. It used to draw constantly, but now how many times are you really going to hear Don't Stop Believing by Journey and get excited about it?
That's true. And a lot of cover bands do it really well, but, you know, still, the same old song, the same old song, the same old song. Yeah, I can understand how that would get tiring. And then there's people are telling me there's a lot less places to play, but people have so many options today. They can go, you know, there's movie theaters all over the place. There are a lot of different venues all over the place. So, you know, depending on the season, they're going down the shore. So, you know, you really have to do something special to get their attention and to get their time because they're. You know, their time is valuable, and a lot of people don't have the money that they used to have to go out. Plus, you know, there's an aging crowd that was used to going out. What kind of crowd do you draw? I mean, is it a younger crowd? Is it a mixed crowd? Tell us about the crowd.
It's mixed.
Okay. And do you see a lot of new faces every time you play?
Yes, and it's awesome. And sometimes when I play, I'll see a face that I'll have just met somewhere else, like maybe 3 weeks before, that they show up and like, hey, what's going on? Like, we remembered you were playing tonight. We came out to see you. There was a group of people that I met at Mexicali Live in Teaneck about a month ago. They came out the other night to see Adventure Soundtrack at Oak Ale House. One of the couples was offered free Neil Diamond tickets. And one reason was, you know, why go back into the New York, you know, into the city? It's, you know, it's a hassle on a Thursday night, blah, blah, blah. And then the other thing was like, well, if we're going to go see live music, let's just, you know, let's go see Adventure Soundtrack. And they came out to see us instead.
That's fantastic. That must have made you feel really, really good.
I loved it. I didn't even know that Neil Diamond was playing that night. I would have had tickets and we would have been playing a different night.
That's fantastic. Tell us a little bit more about the Adventure Soundtrack. How long have you guys been playing? I know you've been playing with tell me the fellow's name again that you're that
Robert Fulton.
Robert Fulton. Okay, so you the last band you were with him, it was Fulton.
The Faust Fulton duo.
There you go, and that was a while ago. So you don't play under that anymore. You play under the Adventure Soundtrack. So how long
we
has it
rarely.
Been?
We do rarely. It's occasional that Faust Fulton duo does play. We're not done.
Okay.
We've just been focused on Adventure Soundtrack. So here's the story with Adventure Soundtrack, because it's longer than I've had anything to do with the band. There was a band. It's gone through several different names. But there was a guy I worked with, him and his brother had a band. Fulton ended up playing bass for them. And this is going back about 10 years ago. They were called Mr. Pants and the Adventure Soundtrack. I did one gig with them. It was a blast. I did two gigs with them, as a matter of fact. One was impromptu, and it was a blast. Then that kind of like fizzled out. Then they did this thing called Turn on the Galaxy, where it was the guitar player on drums, Fulton on lead guitar, the guitar player's brother on guitar as well, different bass player, and I was on keys. And that lasted about, I don't know, 8 months, something like that. And then there was like a 3-year hiatus, and now we're back, the four of us. The guitar player's brother's not involved. However, we still play a lot of songs that he wrote. And it's this, it's very improvisational. Although the songs are catchy. Like, I was a fan of the band before I ever played with them. And it's just really catchy hooks, strong songwriting, and then you get to the improv where there are songs that will play 5 minutes one night that will be 15 minutes another night, and just whatever this, you know, road that we take in a jam just takes us to this, I don't know how to describe it without getting uber excited, and I'm watching my language for you because I love you, man.
Okay. Well, thank you.
But it's kind of like, do you remember that call where the guy, like, you know, his reaction and, like, explosions from areas? That's pretty much what I get out of jamming with these guys, or, like, playing, you know, even a 3-minute song could be really tight as all hell. And we've said everything we have to say, but I've yet to hear a jam from this band where I'm kind of like, man, that should have been done 5 minutes ago. Because it's still... it's still entertaining. It's still melodic. It's not just, oh, okay, you shred, I shred, you shred, I shred. It's just, it's four people listening to what everybody's playing and playing along with that, instead of going, this is my section. And there's a maturity to that as far as musicianship goes. And there's just a camaraderie, because we kind of, Fulton and I know how each other think, no matter what instrument we're playing together. So he's on bass, I'm on keys, and we'll still do a similar run that we might do on guitars. And it's just like, we'll look at each other, we're like, dude, that was awesome.
Now, are you recording as you're playing these gigs? Are you recording the gigs as well so you can capture the stuff?
Yes. Yes. I'm going to give you that address right now. Yes, I think it's theadventuresoundtrack.bandcamp.com. But I'm going to type that in. And we will see if I'm correct or incorrect. You'd think I'd know this, but I don't run any of the sites. I'm kind of like, when people ask me questions about that, I'm like, I just work here, pal. What do we got here? Yes. It's the adventuresoundtrack.bandcamp.com. There are lists, okay. And it's just the live shows. That's not even the studio recordings that they released in the past. So if you want to hear what we sound like live, just head on over there, theadventuresoundtrack.bandcamp.com. A couple full shows, and then, I don't know, there's just one where it's the second set from a show. I don't know why it's not both sets, but I just work here, pal. But it's... I definitely would love for people to hear that stuff. And also, if you look up the Adventure soundtrack on YouTube, there's,
okay.
there's a bunch of live stuff, too. Yeah, there's a bunch of live stuff from John Peters, from Mexicali Live, any Chill Bill, Bird in Flight, whatever you want to call him. He videotapes and audio records every show. So there's an archive of everything, and then he'll go through it and then kind of like sit on it for a few days, decide if he wants to release a whole show, maybe just a video of the, maybe put a song up somewhere or a set or both sets, whatever. And there's tons of music out there. So if you're kind of like, I don't know about this improv stuff. I don't know if I want to hear it. Just go listen and listen to a couple shows. Listen to a short song, listen to a long song, and then just decide, you know, come on out. It's always different, but it's always consistent is the word I'm going to use. I'm going to say it's consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though the set list might change or the improv might change, we're still listening to each other. We're still really focused on just performing really well for people to come out to see us because people don't want to go out and spend money when they don't have to. So when they decide, hey, I want to go check out this band, you got to give them their money's worth, whether it's $5 to get in, $10 to get in, or, you know, free to get in, but you spend $50 on food. No matter what the case is, we want to make sure that everybody is digging it and everybody's having a good time.
Yeah, you have a busy schedule. I'm looking at your schedule here well into July. So let me ask you, the game plan is to let people listen to your music online to entice them to come live. Is that the game plan? You're making your money touring. Are you doing any sales of CDs or downloads? Is that part of the picture too?
With my solo stuff, I am. As far as Adventure Soundtrack goes, I guess we all have a different contract or something like that. But I mean, we're one band, but it's Bird in Flight's music. It's his and his brother's music. So we're kind of,
okay.
It's not that we're employees. We don't look at it like, oh, we're employees and stuff like that. But the way the money works, and I'm strongly behind this. I think it's a great thing. Any sales from those CDs, that was his money that he dumped into it all those years ago, or even a few years ago, I think it was. So when people buy a CD, that's him just recouping his money. I've got no problems with that.
Okay.
But when if somebody spends money to download, like you can listen to these shows for free. You don't have to spend the money on them, but it has
mm-hmm.
to pay if you want to, pay whatever you want thing. And money from that gets split equally. And of course, money from gigs gets split equally. So there's decent money being made in that.
Okay. So you're actually playing Bird in Flight. That's a band or is that a studio? What is that?
He's the guitar player.
Okay.
He's a school teacher, so we don't go by his real name.
I got you.
Yeah.
So you're a teacher also, aren't you?
That's what I do. Yeah, that's my bread and butter, actually, is I
so
teach
you,
music
you,
privately in northern New Jersey.
Okay, so you teach music, you teach what, guitar? What other instruments do you teach?
Guitar and piano.
And a lot of your writing, I bet, is generated on the piano. Is that correct? Is that where it starts?
You would think so, but it really depends on just what mood I'm in. Sometimes if I'm working on something with a student, and a lot of my songs get written, or used to get written, where I give an example of whatever I'm talking about. Like, here's an application. Here's a way to do that. And I'll do that playing something I've never played before. And all of a sudden, I'm like, ooh, cool. And then I'll go home and I'll work on that. Like, I'll pull out my phone and I'll record, like, hey, like, do you mind if I record that for a second so I can work on that in the future and build on that? Nobody's had a problem yet. And it's, that's how a lot of it gets written. Piano, I haven't written a lot on piano in years, not since I did the progressive rock thing with Money for the Toll many, 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 many moons ago, where I only wrote on piano. But sometimes it happens, but I'm not sitting at either instrument saying, I'm going to write something now. It just, it's organic.
What is the most popular instrument that people want to learn these days?
Guitar.
Guitar?
Yep.
And do you find students at a young age coming in, or, you know, older folks? What's the mean age?
Once again, it's both, believe it or not. Some people have retired and they go, you know, I've always wanted to play piano, or I've always wanted to play guitar. I've got a piano student started about 3 months ago, empty nester. Just her and her husband, now kids are moved out, blah, 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 and they're retired. And she's like, I'm going to play piano. This is what I wanted to do. And it's been 3 months, and she's fantastic.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's cool. So, that, you know, when you teach somebody something, you're actually learning at the same time, aren't you? I mean, you're learning at it. Yeah. And so it really has... You know, when I was an instructor, you know, in a technical school, and I brought a lot of people up, teaching them, and then we placed them in jobs. And I still communicate with these people today. And I learned a lot from just sharing what I knew, because I worked out in the field before I was an instructor in this technical school. And teaching people and learning while you're teaching is so rewarding. So I know the feeling that you're getting when you see people really excelling at what you taught them. That's a fantastic feeling.
It's amazing. And sometimes you learn something because somebody will ask a question about something that you just haven't thought of in forever, because it's just one of those things that you learned and you just know it, so it's just ingrained in you. And you got to sit there and be like, well, why is that? And then all of a sudden you're learning, like, oh, this works because this works. Because sometimes, you know, no matter what field you're in, this is this because it is. And you learn that and you move on with it. And then when somebody asks why it exists that way instead of another way, you start thinking of alternatives and wondering. And you're like, oh, man, what the? Yeah, that's awesome. And you learn something that way as well. I started something yesterday where I was being trained, where I was being instructed. And it just made me – I had a lot of respect for the guy that was training me, because he had a lot of patience with me, because I was just really mucking up the one thing left and right. And when I finally got it, it was, you know, a few hours later when I was home working on it. But this guy was just 1,000,000% patience, and it doesn't matter what you're teaching. If you have no patience, you have no business teaching.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you really have to have respect for people's questions. And because, you know, it's true, really, very few questions, if any, are dumb questions, because I find that that's something you may not have thought of. And a person that really doesn't know much about the subject may know a little bit more than you think. And, you know, that's what I've always found, that, you know, people kind of are embarrassed to ask questions. And it's like, hey, you know what? I've asked questions, too. There's nothing wrong with asking questions. That just tells me you want to learn. You know, you want to learn. If you weren't interested, you wouldn't be asking questions. So, don't, you know, ask me as many questions as you want. You know,
yeah,
so
there's never too many questions.
Yeah, it's just a wonderful thing to teach. You know, I still learn on a continuous basis. I learn how to interview people better. A lot of times when I'm interviewing people, I find out that I'm actually being interviewed. And I'm learning. And, you know, you can learn. If you stop learning, you stop living.
I agree.
That's just, you know, what I've learned. Just silly as it sounds. I love it, man. Yeah. I love to know something. I love to find out something I didn't know before, even if it makes me look silly. Because, you know, my feeling is, I can't know everything, okay? And the more people that I meet, the more I'm going to learn. And I very rarely get embarrassed, or I never pretend that I know something. If I don't know something, I don't know something. Tell me what I don't know. you know?
And there are times people... you've just never been in the position. Like people, a couple of years ago, somebody's like, what, you don't know how to change the oil in your car? They're like, no, because I was never in the situation where I needed to know that, nor am I interested in car maintenance.
Exactly.
The guy that changes my oil. Yeah.
That's right, but I would like to know when I should change it so the car don't blow up.
Exactly.
If you want to teach me something, teach me when the right time is for you to do this, you know, and tell me the right story.
Every 3,000 to 5,000 miles, depending on the age and make of your vehicle.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's not knowing anything.
Yeah, that's why you go to the professional. You know, you go to the pro.
When it comes to the word ignorant, so when it comes to automobile maintenance, I'm very ignorant. I'm not stupid. I'm ignorant. There are people out there that think that's the same thing, but I say, it's something I say on my podcast all the time, if you think ignorant means stupid, then you're both.
That's very, very true.
Yeah.
Who's,
it's sad.
People don't like to be embarrassed, and they feel that you're one-upping them, and you'll get a lot of people that'll tell you they know stuff and they don't, that's really not the time to argue with them, but, you know, that's just human nature. People want to come off as something bigger than they may be. You know, there's a big lack of humility in the world, and that's unfortunate, but there's a lot of people that are very humble, and, you know, they're very talented as well. Musicians are like that. I've noticed that Unless I ask people who they played with, they may have played with somebody very, very famous, but they won't tell you unless you tear it out of them, you know? So I find that in musicians, you know, and artists more than other you know, trades. Musicians are much more humble than the electrician or the carpenter. That's what I find.
I've seen every side of the spectrum of musicians that I've worked with over the years, and the one thing I've seen some really arrogant people that they take the crap gig just to say that they played with that person, which is fine because it looks good on a resume.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you played with this person. So yeah, of course, it looks great. But some people do it just to say that they did it, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of nutty. And then I just heard a buddy of mine did a tour with somebody who's notorious for treating his band like crap. And he ended up leaving the tour amicably as well. And it was more like, you know, you get treated like crap, you don't make a lot of money. It's like, well, why the hell do the gig? Because it looks great on a resume. And my thought was like, wow, it's on a resume saying, yes, this person can treat me like crap and pay me nothing, so feel free to do the same. But, you know, it is what it is.
Do you find yourself doing any more open mics, or you just kind of, looks like you might be too busy for that, but do you ever go to and sit in on open mics?
When I can. What I like to do at open mics, I like to just sit down and hang out. I want to listen to other music. Sometimes I just go there to, you know, depending on the open mic, sometimes I find myself, I've had a few beers too many, and then I'm, you know, playing a couple tunes that, you know, whether I wanted to or not. But most of the time I go out just to hang out and, you know, see people, see some musicians I haven't seen in a while, hear some tunes, meet new musicians, hear new songs, et cetera. That list can go on forever. But it's not as, I mean, with the teaching gig and then just, you know, being busy working on the album, working with the Adventure soundtrack, practicing my instruments, working on new stuff that I'm learning on the side, and then doing the podcast, getting out just for the hell of it doesn't happen as often.
Yeah, it sounds like you're really busy. I mean, just your gig schedule here. You're playing back to back days, and then you have a couple days off from gigging, and then you're there back to back days again. So, you know, you have a lot.
I have to update that too.
I'm sorry, you have what?
I have to update that too. I still don't have every gig yet. Yeah.
That's
some of them are just confirmations that I'm waiting on.
It's a lot of work. I mean, it's a lot. It's very, very time consuming. It's very, very.
You know,
time
though,
consuming.
Man, I can always be busier.
I hear you. What kind of setup time? How long does it take you to set up for the average gig?
Me personally, or the full band?
Well, let's do the full gamut. Let's start with the full band. So what is it's
probably
a,
about
a
half. Because if we have to bring our own PA, then it's about a half hour, 40 minutes. But if we're already, you know, if we're playing, you know, a room like Mexicali or John and Peter's in New Hope, where they've got their own sound system, and we're not setting everything up. I'll have my keyboards up and plugged in and ready to go within 5 minutes.
That's great. Now, is that do they pay you less when they provide the sound people?
No.
No. Okay. And they have
sometimes
their own. They have
on
their
room. Yeah.
Mhm. They have their own in-house audio people then, right? The guys sitting doing lights and sound and everything like that.
Mexicali does, yeah. And Mexicali has you get paid what you bring. And I think that's awesome.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Very entrepreneurial. So, but how did, well, let's touch on that subject now. So,
sure.
I've questioned artists about that. I said, "Hey, why not go there and say, "Okay, we have a goal. So we're going to bring 100 people." Okay? And some of the questions I get, well, who's counting? You know what I mean? And what you know, who's sitting at the door? Who's counting? How do we know that they're coming for us? How do they know they're just not coming to, you know, have some peanuts and a couple of beers and watch the football game? So how is that counted? And who does the counting? So
there's somebody at the door usually at Mexicali. And they give us advance tickets as well to sell. So
okay,
we sell those. And then, but there's also who just walks in and they say, "Oh, who are you here to see?" If they don't have a ticket, "Oh, who are you here for?" Okay, cool. And then mark it down.
Oh, okay.
But now on the flip side, I am not against a guaranteed pay, by the way. I love a guaranteed pay. I did 11 years in Slippery When Wet. And that was a job. That was work. Because what Slippery When Wet did was provide a service. "Hey, I need a Bon Jovi tribute band for this night at this venue." Okay, cool. Because we knew, and that band just packed rooms. So that was, you know, that was a no-brainer to give us a guarantee.
So Slippery When Wet was a band?
Oh, it still is. Bon Jovi tribute band. Been around since September of 2001.
I've heard that name. I've heard that name. Now you were in that band for a while, or you work with them?
From day one until September of 2012.
Wow, so you're about 11 years.
I've done fill-in gigs with them. Yeah, 11 years with them. I just did a fill-in gig with them back when their keyboard player, the guy after me, he got that tour with the musician that treated him like crap thing, and so I took the gig for that one date. And, man, it was epic. It was just epic playing with those guys again. And it's one of my favorite gigs I've played this year, not because of the material that I'm in love with. I'm not. I played that music for 11 years. I don't ever need to hear it again. But it was great to just play with my friends again and just see some faces in the crowd that I haven't seen in 5 years.
They draw a lot of girls to those shows, right? Or women.
you know,
politically correct over here.
Everybody said, like, you know, like, the band just brings, like, the most, the sound guy that worked that night that I did, he was telling me, he's like, "Man, you guys always bring the Cougars."
Yeah.
He's
well,
they love
Bon Jovi. Yeah, they love Bon Jovi.
They do. I'll tell you, man, it was an epic, epic show.
How do you get your gigs? Are you your own salesman? I mean, your own booking agent?
For my thing, I'm my own salesman. For the Adventure soundtrack, either Bird in Flight gets it booked or I book stuff like here and there. Like rooms that I know, like John and Peter's, I book those dates. Just because, you know, Eddie Kribber is like just one of the coolest guys I've ever met in my life. I love that dude to death. Great guy. So I'm already going to talk to him anyway. So I'm going to be like, "Hey, let me get some dates for Adventure soundtrack." And he's always a very generous guy. Now, that's not a guaranteed pay room. We get paid what we bring in, but he's generous that we'll have a Friday night in February where maybe like 10 people walk into the bar, but it's also because the weather sucks. So he doesn't blame us. We don't get blamed, like, or, you know, he also knows that we're promoting. like there are bands that just, you know, they go and they expect money and they don't promote, they don't do anything to get people out there, and they just think like it's up to the club to provide fans for their band. If you're a tribute band or a cover band, yeah, absolutely, like the club should also be promoting. But if you're an original band trying to get your name out there and just trying to get more people, you want to be promoting, and you don't want to be asking people for money and or making them like just crazy demands. You want to get your music out there. Hey, hear my songs. Like I said earlier, like about hearing the Adventure soundtrack stuff on Bandcamp. Or I prefer people just come to a show to hear it. But of course I do.
Sure. The tell us, you know, you touched on a very good point there, the promotion. You know, a lot of bands, a lot of bands do and a lot of bands don't, what I'm going to say is what you're saying, promoting. This is a business, and a lot of bands don't treat it as a business. And, you know, it's like anything else. If you are a plumber, okay, not only you have to fix pipes the right way, you got to tell people that you fix pipes. Okay.
Yes.
And what kind of pipes you fixed. And, you know, just like a musician says, okay, this is what we play. You can hear us, get a little sample, a little taste before you come out, and here's where we're playing. If you really like us, we need your support. And that's what it really takes. And that's hard work. Okay, that's hard work.
Exactly. You know, and there's a flip side to that as well, though, when it comes to the bars. There are certain bars that they don't promote their place. What they do is say, hey, they try to underpay a band. They'll say, oh, I'll give you $100 for all four of you. You got to bring in your own PA. You got to bring people in. You got to advertise. They don't advertise. These bars don't advertise. And then they want to pay, you know, a full band $100 to
pay
for 5 hours or 4 hours. Right. But it's to get people into their bar. So it's like, no, you're paying me to show up and provide a service for your bar, which is fine. But you're not paying me to let people know that your place exists.
That's usury. Those are places you should avoid.
Oh, I totally do.
Yeah.
The one place, you know, I'm kind of close to in a weird way, where I, you know, I'll go there and hang out, but I won't play there anymore because I told the guy flat out, I'm like, you don't advertise the place, and you want me to just, you know, be your guy, and then you want to give me next to nothing for it. So I was colorful. I was a lot more colorful about it.
The interesting thing to me is, and I've been asked this question, well, you should be playing here to get your music out. Okay, I'm not a musician, but, you know, I talk to a lot of musicians, and the questions that I would ask if I was a musician, okay, so you're telling me that I should just come here to play because so I can play. So let me ask you a question. Should people just come to your bar just to drink your alcohol and eat your food? Is that free? You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Is that free? If it is, I can get a lot of people to come here. Okay. They may not even like our music, but they'll come.
My not being a huge fan of social media in general, just because I think it wastes time, but there are still things, but I also think it's great in certain ways, and one of them is the whole exposure rap has really been given, like, there's a light that could shine on it brightly now. Where years ago, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I know, we'll take this gig because it'll be good exposure for us to do this one. And people used to buy into that. And I used to be like, yeah, well, you know. And then somebody posted a letter from a restaurant or an ad. I think it was whatever site or Craigslist or whatever. It was from a restaurant wanting jazz musicians to come and play. Now, we won't pay you, but it'll be good exposure for, you know, for you to the people in our restaurant that are dining there. And a guy wrote back, he's like, oh, hey, you know, I'm catering a party at my house. Why don't you come over and you can cater it, and we won't pay you, but it'll be really good exposure for your restaurant. And I don't know what the outcome of that was, and I would love to
know. That's a great letter.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, it was amazing.
That's a great letter.
You know, oh, I would love to play that gig for exposure, but the bank that I owe money to does not take exposure as a form of payment. I can't.
Exactly. Plus, we got to go to the supermarket. They don't take that either.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Or just,
amazing.
You know, the amount of money it costs just to, me maybe maintain your instruments, maybe gas to get to the gig. Maybe if I want to eat at your place that isn't giving me a discount or free food, no, I don't want to do that. And a lot of these places are kind of getting a hand of them. So, you know, it's a really weird, it almost gets contradictory at times, too, because I'm saying this about clubs and then this about musicians, because it's a really, there's a fine line. Because if you're not bringing people, if you're not expected to bring people, that's one thing. But if they're saying, okay, we want you to bring people, or we want you to do this service for nothing, well, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to play my own music where it's like, okay, well, I've got nothing better to do this night, so maybe you'll give me a meal and, like, you know, a soda or a coffee or a beer, whatever. And that's me on my time doing my thing for me. But if you want me to play a certain set of somebody else's material, no, because now I'm taking time to learn it. I'm taking time to practice it to make sure it's perfect. So that's time. Time equals dollar signs.
Absolutely. You could be teaching somebody.
One of those guys that's not. Yeah, exactly. I could be making money teaching. But if you're one of those guys that doesn't draw, if you don't promote and you're not drawing the crowd because you don't promote or for whatever the reason is, then you really shouldn't expect anything.
Yeah, this is you know, bottom line, this is a business.
It absolutely is. It's called the music business.
That's right. Absolutely. So, you know, I've always said to bands, you got to bring people. Okay. Don't expect the club. If you want to make top dollar, bring the top crowd, you know, and then you're in charge. You don't have to worry about what the bar wants to pay you. So if, you know, you're playing at a bar in Tenafly and you have a following, it's in Bergen County and they're going to travel 10, 15 miles when you're going to be in that area. Guess what? And you got something people want, and let's talk about your promotions and social media. Do you do most of your promotions on social media? I mean, I know the bands of, you know, before the internet, guys were mailing out flyers and that got pretty expensive. So, you know, is your promotion basically now mainly on social media and email? Is that how you do it?
Well, there's always the email list because I remember for years, even back in the good old days of MySpace, it was, you know, your MySpace page isn't your website. Your Facebook page is not your website. That is social media. That's where, yeah, you're gathering more people, but you need a website and you need an email list. And you need to send out email blasts once a week, once every 2 weeks, once a month, whatever it is, however often you're gigging, even if you want to do it like that. Hey, I got 3 gigs this week. Come to one of them. Come to all of them. But mailing list is always important. That's number one, is the email list.
I know you're building that at every show.
Oh, of course, absolutely.
And then how do you get people? What do you do at the show to get them to join email list? Are you providing them? They're going right to their phone. You get them to go to their phone and get on the mailing list right there and then, or they have like a pretty girl running around the show with a tablet. Say, hey, you want to get on the email list? Blah blah blah. Plug your email in right here.
No, that's not a bad idea. We should bring that back. Is have a girl walking around with the have a lady or a woman or a girl, whatever, walking around with the clipboard. But we Adventure Soundtrack is brick and mortar in that capacity. Where, hey, we've got an email address over here. There's a pen and or email list, email sign up sheet. And that's awesome, and it gets used every gig, which makes me very happy. And of course,
cool.
You know, you do your event pages on Facebook. You tweet stuff. You take whatever picture you use for your event goes on Instagram.
Now let me ask you about the best time to do promotions on social media. My feeling, and I'll tell you my feeling after I hear your feeling. When's the best time that you feel to use Twitter to promote your gig? Is it real close to the gig, or is it weeks before or days before?
It depends on what area it's in. So if I've got a gig in Maywood tomorrow and in Hawthorne next week, say, I'm promoting the Maywood gig this week. I'm not mentioning Hawthorne until the moment after. Like, I got after you. I'm done gigging in Maywood tomorrow, I'm going to promote next week's Hawthorne gig. Or okay. It could be I'm in Hawthorne next week, and then I'm in New Hope the week after. I'm going to list all three, or all two gigs, you know, whatever they are. Because
right, if especially if they're in close proximity.
Right.
Right, right. Because the same people might come to all three gigs.
Exactly.
Correct.
Well,
correct.
But okay. I also still, you know, make it known, like, oh, all the available dates are at this website. So they can pick and choose as well. But the focus goes in usually the week before. Sometimes 2 weeks before. It depends on the gig. I do my birthday bash once a year at Mexicali Live. The second I get the tickets in February, I'm promoting the crap out of that show.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, I'm doing a show with Acoustic Martin and Chickie and Pete's. And he's after me. Got to start promoting this right now. It's in August. I said, but Bill, you know, I generally promote, you know, a week or so before a show. And a lot of times I'm promoting 10 minutes before, the show, because that's when people are, you know, for my shows, if I promote them 3 weeks in advance, people aren't going to remember them. You know, my radio shows, you know, so I find I use Twitter, you know, as an immediate tool. So, hey, I'm live now. I'm going to be live, you know, and I usually kick that out 5 minutes before the show starts. You know, and I have 25
Twitter accounts. As far as that goes, sure, yeah, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But as far as if it's the only gig that's happening and it's happening in August,
mm-hmm.
And it's a live concert,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, promote it now. If it's the only one that's happening, you want people to block that date out now.
Yeah, I think you're right. So we're going to start promoting that on Facebook and on, you know, on Twitter and stuff and get that going. But I hear so many different methodologies that people are using, and it's good because you learn, you know, I just, you know, I'm taking your advice. I got similar advice from other people as well. So, you know, this is what we're talking about before.
It depends on if it's a one-off or what the immediacy of it is. If it's a one-off, absolutely. Get that mm-hmm. promo happening. But if it's something that's happening every week or every other week, then, you know, of course, you know, slow the roll. But, yeah, if that's happening in August, where? Tell everybody. Where is this happening? This is with Billy?
Yeah, that's true.
From Think Pink Floyd?
Yeah, absolutely. It would be Acoustic Martin
right
show.
On. He's a good dude.
You know, you know Billy.
I know
Billy's
Billy,
cool
yeah. He's a good
dude. Yeah, Billy. Absolutely. I see you're doing stuff in Philly. Is Philly one of your favorite towns? Where do you like to play the most?
Oh, I can't answer that. I mean, I got to tell you, I love New Hope. I really love New Hope and that surrounding area, because there's a place called The Local in Point Pleasant that I also play at that I really love.
I see that's coming up in July.
Yeah, The Local and John and Peter's, yeah. Back to back. That's going to be a great one. And those are two the first night, the 13th, is me solo at The Local doing my thing. My buddy Jonah also, he hosts these Thursday nights at The Local where we jam a lot is what happens. But I'm going to be also doing solo stuff as well. And then the next night's the Adventure Soundtrack and that guy Jonah's band called Spinal Cracker. No Beatles tunes, but Spinal Cracker is still a badass name.
That's a New Hope, right?
Yes. The Friday show is New Hope. The Thursday show is at The Local in Point Pleasant. I can't believe
Point Pleasant, PA. Yes, Point Pleasant, PA.
Point Pleasant, Pennsylvania. That's correct. Yes.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, because there's a Point Pleasant over here in New Jersey, by the there's a Point Pleasant borough, and there's a Point Pleasant beach. You ever played down the shore here?
Oh God! And Joey Harrison Surf Club is one of my, or was one of my favorite rooms. It's a shame that it's gone.
Sandy took care of that.
It's a shame.
That was there for a long time. I remember when I was a teenager. When I was a teenager, we were able to drink when we were 18, and we used to go there when we were, you know, teenagers. We used to sneak in, 16 to 17 years old, and the age was 18. And then when I turned 21, the age turned back to 21. So it was like perfect timing. But that was a long time ago. But that was around then. I mean, that was around in the, you know, in the 70s, 70s and 80s. I think even probably earlier than that. I heard that they might be rebuilding that. I'm not 100% sure, but they rebuilt a lot of stuff in that area.
That would just be awesome.
I'm gonna drive by there and see what they put in its place over there, because I'm not far from there. I'm up and down those beach roads every day, you know, checking stuff out. Yeah, that was a great place. That was a great place.
Yeah, I loved that room. That's definitely my favorite room that I played down there.
All right, why don't we do this? Why don't you sound off of the places that you're playing over the next 2 weeks? Let everybody know that. And then we'll give you websites, and then we'll bid you farewell for the evening. And
right on.
We're going to have you come back, and then I'm going to listen to some of your music. And then we'll be in touch. And then what I'll also do tomorrow, but late in the day tomorrow, you'll have I'll start sending you links of where all the shows are. So this way you can hear your show, and I'll post up the last show that we did too. I'm debating.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I actually have the unedited version, and I have the edited version. So I think I'm going to put the unedited version up there, and I'll just put an R rating on it.
That was funny.
That was funny as shit, man.
That was really funny.
I still laugh when I think about that. We've had some great shows. That's pretty funny.
I love that.
Okay, Sean. Yeah, that was great.
So here's what I got going on, man. I got, this Saturday, you mentioned Philadelphia. It's an event called Can't Stop the Serenity. And that's like, it's their site says it's a unique opportunity to indulge your geeky side while doing some good. Because in 2006, fans have started screenings of a movie called Serenity to raise funds and awareness to support Equality Now. So that's what's happening this Saturday at the Rotunda in Philadelphia. It's Can't Stop the Serenity Philadelphia. It's from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. And it is a fundraiser, but it's a good time too. Like, there's raffles, you watch a movie, you hang out with good people. And of course, yours truly is performing, which actually to me is not the highlight. I love the movie, so it's like a bonus for me. I get to play a fun gig and then check out a cool movie. That's Philadelphia this Saturday, the 24th of June. Next Thursday, I'm playing with my buddy Jonathan Andrew. We're both, you know, swapping sets at Maxwell's in Hoboken, New Jersey. I haven't played there in God knows how long. So I'm really excited to get back in that room. But that's Thursday, July 6th. And that's at Maxwell's in Hoboken with Jonathan Andrew. And then, of course, as we talked about for that week after, the 13th and the 14th. The 13th, it's me doing my solo thing and then jamming with my buddy Jonah at the local in Point Pleasant, Pennsylvania. And then Friday, July 14th, at John and Peter's is the Adventure Soundtrack. We're going to be alternating sets with Spinal Cracker. It's going to be awesome. And you can see all that stuff at SeanFaustMusic.com. All the info is there.
Well, that's fantastic, Sean. Hey, Sean, thank you so much for coming back. We'll have you back again. Oh, you're welcome. Listen, if it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't have a show. I'd be here talking to myself.
That's what I do on my podcast, yeah.
Hey, you know, if you ever want me to come on your podcast, we can shoot the shit
on
the
air. Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I was going to say that. Let me know. And we don't have to watch our language.
Okay.
Although I try to anyway. Yeah.
Well, you know, we could try to be, you know, funny. And I'll listen to some of your podcasts and get an idea of what they're about. And then I'll bring a different side of myself. That's all.
Well, they run the gamut. And from kind of like nerdy to just outright, I guess people get offended. And that's fine. You know, it's not for everybody. And I completely understand that. I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. But I, you know, mm-hmm. I do share my opinions, and sometimes I get a little, I get very foul-mouthed on that show, and I actually started a drinking game for certain tics that I have, because I would say, a lot, and I don't like, when people speak every other word is, it kind of like, or even that, it kind of like, and then I stop. or but hey, you know what. So it's a drinking game pretty much that I play when I'm editing it because I don't want to be doing that. And the other thing was, if I curse excessively, drink. But and I've noticed that some of the ticks since I started the drinking game and promoting the drinking game, I don't do them anymore.
That's okay.
So, yeah, so that's okay. Oh, that's wdimpodcast.blogspot.com. But yeah, I gotta get you on that, brother. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, I think you sent me a link to that. Actually, as a matter of fact, you did send me a link to that. I was checking that out. That's how I knew you were doing a podcast. Very cool.
Awesome. Oh, yeah,
that's very cool. Okay. All right. So, thanks again, Sean. All right.
Thanks, Al.
All right. We'll talk soon, okay?
All right, man.
All right.
Buddy. Take care.
All right. All right. This is Al Fink. We're going to wrap it up for the night here. That was Sean Faust, his second appearance with us. Get out and see his shows. I'm excited to start listening to some of his music. He sent me some great links. And we'll have a copy of this show up on our SoundCloud tomorrow, and I'll also include some of Sean's links so you can listen to his music and get you directed to him. All right, good night, everybody. Get out there, have a good time. Keep music live. Local music is great, especially when it's live. Get out there, you know, support these local clubs. Make sure these folks have places to play. Don't drink and drive. Have a good time. Get a designated driver. Drink up, but don't drive. All right. See ya. We'll be back live. Might be back live on Thursday with Sandra C. Not sure what the schedule is, but I'll definitely be back next Monday. Have a whole list of guests. I won't bore you with that now, but you'll start seeing some of that stuff coming out. And don't forget, we have that show at Chickie and Pete's on August 24th with Acoustic Martin and Company. All right. Take care. Al Fink is out. Bye.